Good News Hour is with you once again. Your speaker today is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and it is our purpose to go along a little further in the subject that we had before us in our last message to you. We were speaking of the believer's portion, the believer's protection, and the believer's position. Now, it's good to know our portion, and it is also good to know our position. We saw, first of all, in the Gospel by St. Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 24, that our standing, that is the standing of really, truly born-again men and women, is upon the solid rock, the sure foundation. And I'm certainly not viewing things from a pessimistic standpoint when we have been pointing out a number of things that as regards the foundations of what we once regarded as most sacred and we thought secure, but we've seen these disappear and we have seen them being undermined in one way or another. And so as the foundations give way here and there of what we once did thank God for and appreciate and enjoy, but we can say, thank God, there's one foundation that remains the same now as ever before. It's the sure foundation. It's the solid foundation. It is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And all of us who are saved can say, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so we pointed out to you in our last message with you, brief message, our position we have under us, the foundation, our Lord Jesus Christ, and around us, the robe of righteousness over us, the precious blood within us, the Holy Spirit of God above us, the sure hope, or may I say that blessed hope. And then we spent the major part of our time in speaking of the foundation, certainly, and in exalting our Lord Jesus Christ and reminding our hearers that anything less than Christ could not suffice. Anything in addition to our Lord Jesus Christ certainly is superfluous and cannot add to it. Christ and Christ alone. But now I should like to point out something else that we can say is under us. If you were to turn to the book of Deuteronomy and read there at about verse 27, you'd read an amazing statement that goes like this. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." Oh, what precious, precious assuring words those are. Is it not wonderful to be conscious of the fact that underneath us are his everlasting arms? Yes, blessed be God. He is the eternal God. He's spoken of in that fashion right in this very book. The eternal God is thy refuge, and then underneath the everlasting arms. Let me ask you if you're sure that you are there today. Oh, are you resting in Christ alone, in him gloriously complete? There's nothing that one could present that would be equal to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. And he wants your Savior to be. He'd like to be that right this very day. Now, I should like to proceed a little further, and we're going to see what is around us. Now, I don't mean what's around us in this poor world. And one has said, if you look around, you would be distracted. If you look within, you would be disgusted. But if you look up, you would be delighted. And so we are not calling the attention of our hearers today to things around about us. We've been reminding you in our broadcast that this is not a pessimistic view, but things are giving way, foundations are failing, and the only thing that's safe and the only thing that's secure is Christ, and he's the only one that can make you safe and happy. And surely, in these days of stress and pressure, when it seems to be on the increase, there must be in your heart an aching void if you're not Christ. And if you do not know him as your Savior, there must be there a God-begotten desire to know, where can you find refuge? Where can you find safety? Where can you find security? Well, we're glad to be able to tell you that if you have around you, under you, the sure foundation, and if you have around about you what God has provided, you would be safe, secure, and happy, as divinely happy as it is possible to be. And so I shall remind you of what is around the Christian, what is around the believer. You would find it, for instance, in the Gospel by St. Luke, and in that 15th chapter and verse 22, where we read, "The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." And so, around every believer is what pictures the righteousness of our God. Yes, it is in reality the best robe. I'll tell you why. It is the robe of righteousness. It is the robe of God's providing, the robe of the Father's providing. And He would like to put that best robe upon you today. Listen, the robe of righteousness. Now, your own righteousness cannot possibly fit you for heaven. And if you were to provide a righteousness of your own and the very best that you could possibly produce, you know what it would be? It would be nothing short of filthy rags. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, says the prophet Isaiah in that wonderful 66th chapter and verse 6. Oh, do not come presenting to him your own righteousness. You tell him, I have no righteousness in myself as a sinner. I can provide no righteousness that meets your holy eye, and I want the righteousness that satisfies God, a righteousness that's found in him. And then if you were to turn to the first epistle of Paul to Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, we read this amazing statement. Who of God, that's Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And I'll tell you what would happen if you came to him owning that you have nothing that you can offer to him, nothing you can present to him as fitness for his holy presence. He would say to you, I have for you the best robe. I have the robe of righteousness, and it will fit you for my presence, fit you for a holy heaven. You know, there's two things that men must have to dwell in the sunlight of God's presence, to dwell in the celestial city in heaven. See, we're talking about shooting for the moon, and then for Venus and for Mars and so on. Now listen, if you could inhabit those celestial bodies, you'd have to have a new body. And so, in order to get to heaven, you have to have a robe of righteousness, that's fitness. And then in order to be able to dwell in his presence forever and forever, one must have a new body. And that's what's exactly going to happen. One of these days, we're going to, if our Lord should come today, those of us who are saved and clothed with righteousness, the best robe of the Father's providing, instantaneously we would get a new body, would meet the Savior in the air, and thus to be forever with him, with the robe of righteousness round about us. That's our fitness. It's Christ and Christ alone. And then, blessed be his name forever. It would be a new body to go in, to go out no more, forever and forever. Now, there's a great deal we could say about that, about the new body, the glorified body. And what would it mean? Yes, in one sentence, we'd be with him, but we would be like him. Blessed be his name forever and forever. My new body will be like the body of my blessed Savior, my Redeemer. And oh, if that gladsome event would occur today. But we'll say more about that when we come to the blessed hope that's set before us in this little series of messages to us. Then shall we say that we have round about us the robe of righteousness, and that's what fits us for God's high and holy heaven. But now then, what do we have over us? Well, if you don't mind, we'll turn to the book of Exodus, a very interesting story, a story that has been used and has been a means of opening the spiritual eyes of unnumbered thousands of people. I wish it were possible to start at verse 1 where we get a statement something like this. Speak unto the congregation of Israel and say unto them, the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. And then he tells them just prior to that, he says, this month shall be to you the beginning of months, the first month of the year. It will be, of course, to you. Then they were to catch up this little lamb, and it was to be kept up from the 10th day until the 14th, and on the evening of the 14th day, that little lamb was slain. Now, just again to remind you, it was not enough to take up the lamb, it was not enough to slay it, to catch its blood in a vessel, but what they were required to do, and this is what I want to stress now, in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 12, ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel. That, of course, was over them. And the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. So that they were under the blood of a little lamb. Of course, Christians are redeemed not with the blood of a lamb, but with the blood of the precious Son of God, the holy, spotless Lamb of God, a Lamb that God provided, of whom John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we'd like to commend you today to the Son of God and ask you, are you on the solid rock foundation? Is the robe of righteousness around you? Is the blood over you? Do you know what it is to have taken shelter under the precious blood of the Son of God? As we have already been reminding you, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish. Now, if you enjoyed what you've been listening to and you'd like further spiritual help, please communicate with us. This address will reach us. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Now, we've been getting some good reports, and we'd like to get a line from you. Meantime, God bless you is our prayer.